Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
Our second scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. Again, I invite you to listen for the word of the Lord. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There are two aspects of this scripture lesson from the Gospel of Mark that have become clearer to me in the last week. The first is that these disciples aren't completely unique in their willingness to drop everything. People we know are doing some version of that all the time. All of us have likely at times done some version of the same thing, for letting go is a requirement of every disciple of Jesus Christ, not just the disciples of 2,000 years ago. And the second realization I've had in the last week, thinking about this gospel lesson, is that this account is just the beginning of their letting go. In fact, following Jesus towards the kingdom of God requires that all of his disciples keep on dropping important things. It may be that we have to keep on dropping nets our whole way there. Let me try to tell you what I'm getting at using a story from Tennessee. Back in Columbia, Tennessee, where we lived before moving back here to Marietta, I heard stories about these young men who would hear the call of God as they worked in the tobacco fields. They'd drop what they were doing to become ministers of the gospel. However, the county historian once told me, if you find that story awe-inspiring, then you don't know what it's like to try and tend a field of tobacco. A young man would say absolutely anything to get out of those tobacco rows on a hot summer day. Don't be so impressed. Of course, I am impressed. I'm impressed every time I see people doing this kind of thing, even if maybe they're not doing it for purely spiritual reasons. But consider this too. Sometimes letting go of the first thing is the easy part. And then you have to keep on doing it, which makes me think of this firsthand account of a young white Southern woman from right here in Cobb County who said that when her brother heard that Lincoln had been elected president, he rushed off to South Carolina to enlist. She was caught up in how he nearly dropped his hoe in the field to rush off to the fight. However, how was it once the war really began? How was it once winter started? How was it for him coming home, questioning the cause or refusing to let it go? Sometimes adventure calls us to let go of our nets, and we'd be fools not to listen, but we're also fools to think that that's where letting go ends. Every soldier knows that letting go of the comforts of home is just the first step in a long journey, and on that journey, some let go of even their humanity. The path of discipleship is the same in the sense that we just have to keep on letting go day after day, again and again. But the path of discipleship is one of stepping closer to the kingdom, dying to self, dying to ego, dying to comfort, to take up a cross. For disciples who are letting go to follow Christ, it's worth it. Because every time we let go of something like our nets, every time we suffer for the sake of Him, we're stepping out of darkness and towards the light. I heard about this in an audio book I was listening to. I was listening to this audio book with the woman who runs First Presbyterian Church. You may know her. Her name is Melissa Ricketts. Melissa's official title here is Director of Administration, and you may know that Melissa Ricketts and I rode down to South Georgia last Saturday, representing all of you, representing this church. We were there at the graveside with Reverend Joe and Sandra as they buried their son. It was hard to be there. But you might know that we wouldn't have been anywhere else. And I know that all of you wish that you could have been there. The problem was for us that we had to get there first, and the getting there took a very, very long time. It was about 5 hours down there and 5 hours back. It was one of those drives where you come off the interstate and you think you're getting close, but you're not. And the day before, when I was just getting ready to go, our daughters were worried about me being a passenger in Melissa's car. They were very concerned that I might not be engaging enough, a conversationalist, to entertain one of their favorite people. They feel as though I can be a boring person to ride in a car with. So they suggested I bring a book for us to listen to on the way, and we did. My wife Sarah made the recommendation, having read this book already. This book, it's called The Love Story of Missy Carmichael. And it's the story of a woman who lost her husband but never changed a thing in the house. You can imagine. The story starts moving when she meets a friend who comes over, and this friend of hers describes Missy's home as like a mausoleum. She offers to help her sort through it all. Sorting through the stuff was an emotional experience for Missy Carmichael, because letting go of all that stuff was like letting go of her husband all over again. But once she started letting go of what was there, notice the light coming in through the windows. I tell you this story because it makes this clear. It makes it clear how hard it is to let go, but also how pure the light is. That's what discipleship is like. We let go of our nets, but from letting go, something happens. Real life starts again. Joy comes back. We're not trapped in a perpetual cycle of the way things are, but are invited to join God in what might yet be. It's the opposite of that show, Hoarders. Do you know that show? Sometimes that show hits a little too close to home for me. I haven't watched the show in a while. I don't know if it's still even on TV, but what I remember is how often for the people on that show, the physical stuff wasn't just stuff, and letting go of it was so painful they almost couldn't do it. It's like Mrs. Havisham in Great Expectations. We who watch it happen want to say, get out of that old wedding dress, only she can't take it off, and neither can she get on with living. Likewise, down in our basement are all my old baseball cards. Up in our attic are all my old high school yearbooks. Our girls were rummaging around in my sock drawer, and they wanted to know why I had a Ziploc bag full of tiny little teeth. I'll tell you why. It's because letting go is hard. It's hard to let kids grow up. It's hard to say goodbye. It's hard to say goodbye to who they once were and what we once had. It's hard to move on. Sometimes it's hard to get on with living because living requires letting go over and over again, letting something go. At the beginning of this sermon, I said that people like us do it all the time, and they do, and so often it's worth it. Have you ever seen a woman who let go of everything to become a mother? The disciples letting go of their nets must have been something like that. Some of you have been that woman who let go of everything to pick up a tiny little bundle of life and made that little bundle the center of everything. You let light come in. You can't imagine doing anything else. But did you know that you were going to have to keep on letting go? Did you know that you were going to have to let go of her hand so that she could walk? Did you know that you were going to have to let go of her so she could go off to college? Fathers are terribly bad at all of this. It takes us so long at the beginning, and then we almost can't bear to do it in the end. I remember how Sarah became a mother the first second she held our oldest daughter, Lily, in her arms. It happened right before my eyes. She just let go of self-centeredness and made her daughter the center of her whole world, while I was still the same self-centered guy that I was the day before. I was ready to leave that hospital so that I could just go on back home and get back to watching TV, maybe take a nap on the couch. My whole life had not yet been transformed. Yet now I watch as fathers walk their daughters down the aisle to let them go. And I have an idea of how long it's going to take me to recover from doing that. Only I also know that this is what I signed up for. This is what life requires, and discipleship isn't any different. We must keep letting go to let more light in. You know what happens on the TV show Hoarders, what happens to people who can't. But there's an even worse warning for those who hold on and don't let the light in. It's there in the book of Jonah. We don't always get really deep into this story, into the story of Jonah and the whale. It's a story that we tell children, so kids grow up thinking that the hard-to-believe part of this story is that a man could be swallowed by a whale then spit up on the beach 3 days later. That's not the hardest part of the story to believe. The hardest part for Jonah to believe is that God would want to save the Assyrians. That sounds silly if you don't know how awful the Assyrians were. They were demonic. Had they been the ones to march on Capitol Hill, they'd make what we saw about 2 weeks ago look like a yard sale or a lemonade stand. When they invaded a nation, they'd skin their enemies alive. They'd burn children, destroy cities, enslave survivors, and God wanted Jonah to go and preach to them. That's a terrifying proposition, but it got worse. When Jonah finally preached to them, they listened. Those Assyrians were like so many disciples. They let go of who they were and became someone new, which surely brought an awful lot of light into their lives. However, Jonah wasn't ready for it to happen because he couldn't let go of the hatred he was holding on to. You know how disappointed Jonah was. He pouted under that broom tree. Then God sent a worm and killed the tree. Do you remember that part? On first reading, it sounds like he's just being a big baby, only we can't simplify his disappointment or we'll miss the point. He was disappointed because his whole life he'd been in dreaming of the moment God would wipe those enemies of his from the face of the earth. Then God wants him to let go of that dream to face a new reality. Do you have any idea how hard that is to do? This is something that some people are never able to do. They can't see what's right in front of them as good because it's not the good that they had wanted to see. They can't tell that it's a blessing because it's not the blessing they had asked for. Disappointment breaks their heart. It happens all the time. Again and again, we must let go of what we want to happen, what we thought would bring the light in, to trust that God might know better than we do. The persistent call of Christ is, drop what you're holding on to and follow me. Don't let that call sound too easy or you're fooling yourself. It's not easy, but don't let that call sound impossible either. People do it all the time, and they can tell you that doing so lets more light into their lives. C.S. Lewis said it was something like a child happily making mud pies in an alleyway, receiving an invitation to the beach. She's never been to the beach. She can't imagine the beach. But when we let go of what we know, we stand to gain what might yet be. When we let go of bitterness, we stand to gain joy. When we let go of hatred, we stand to gain love. When we let go of our nets, we stand to be a part of the transformation of this entire world. Let go of your nets. Let go of what was. Follow Christ toward the light. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia. Or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.